So in every case, the perpetrator had already been found guilty or had pled guilty, and we looked at how the judge or the magistrate came to a final sentence for that particular perpetrator. We looked at the factors that were taken in mitigation, and that meant the factors that they looked at to try and reduce the sentence from the starting maximum that they had. What we were specifically looking for were evidence of gender discrimination and gender bias by the judges in coming to those conclusions, and whether or not that gender bias affected the sentencing outcome.
So, what were some of those factors that were taken into consideration by the judges that you believe might have impacted on the sentences being reduced?
What we looked for were both direct and indirect forms of gender discrimination, and that means looking at whether or not gender norms and stereotypes and traditional concepts about gender roles were taken into account. This could be something like women are supposed to be pure or virginal, whether or not a woman was drinking, how many sexual partners she'd had in the past, whether or not that somehow mitigated the sentence. In domestic violence cases, it might be ideas around the man being the head of the household or being justified in lashing out if his wife or partner had nagged him or provoked or was having an affair. We also saw evidence of if a woman had left her partner, the sentence was mitigated because he was jealous or it was a crime of passion. So they were some of the more direct forms of gender discrimination we saw. We also took into account situations where on the surface it looked like there was no discrimination, but those particular factors, due to the structural inequality of men and women, would have had an adverse effect on women. So two particular examples of these would be the breadwinner argument. So we see in the Pacific and in lots of places around the world, women are quite often still economically dependent on their partner, which means once the perpetrator, if it's their partner, goes to prison, if he's the breadwinner, that has an adverse effect on the family. Quite often the judge will take this into account and give a non-custodial or a very short sentence, even if the victim is actually the wife or the daughter of the perpetrator. The other category that we see is in customary reconciliation. Now, in the Pacific, quite often you'll see within villages and within communities, they have their own form of local justice through customary reconciliation, and that is often in the form of an apology with some form of compensation as well. It can work in very different ways, and quite often the victim herself is not involved in that customary reconciliation. It may be between the males of both families, or it may be between the male chiefs of the two villages. If the victim is involved, she's quite often pressured by the community into accepting any customary apology that is offered, and so she's not in any way empowered within the system that is around her.
Some pretty bleak findings, really, in regards to the rights of women or expecting a decent outcome on their behalf when these people have been found guilty. Who is at blame here? I mean, these are obviously the judges who are handing down these sentences. Do they need to change, be educated into making sure that they don't necessarily favour men?
Part of the solution is to look at judges and training, but it's worth remembering that what the judges are looking at is simply a reflection of broader social understandings and inequalities. Ideally, we would have a situation where we're working towards greater equality across the entire spectrum of society. But as you said, there are specific targets that we can look at within the judicial system itself. It's not simply judges. Prosecutors as well can be educated and be provided with specific tools to help them so they know when to object in court or when to appeal a particular decision. It's also a matter of assisting judges by providing the appropriate tools, whether it's handbooks, whether it's other forms of guidance, so that they're provided with best practice guidelines. Judges also have to make sure that they are consistent in their approach and that they follow the higher courts. So it may be that they're actually bound by legislation or by precedent. So law reform is also something that should be looked at in particular situations. In each situation, however, any change has to come from within the community. Every community is different, every court system is different, and so what works in one place won't necessarily work in another. And so it's a question of working very closely with judges, very closely with activists and NGOs and feminist groups to bring about the change that we need to try and reduce the use of gender discrimination.